May I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Can you hear me? Can everyone hear me?
Yes.
Okay. My first time in this space, so. Have you ever tried making bread? Well, I'm sure many of you have, and you may do it regularly, and some of you at least probably do it very well. And if so, I tip my hat to you. My mom made it look so easy to stir up a batch of bread or light rolls, and I never asked her to teach me how. I guess I just thought that that gift would come to me genetically, like what used to be my dark hair and my brown eyes. But when I tried it later and she was no longer around to kind of help me get the feel for the dough, I tried, but I have to admit I was disappointed in the results, and I've pretty much given up. It wasn't awful, but the dough is always a sticky mess, and my rolls are never as tasty and light as my mom's were. So when I want good bread, I visit my favorite bakery. Some of you may do that too. It's a good thing we have good bakeries in this part of the country. But I wonder what Jesus's bread tasted like. At least he didn't have to stir it up and then wait for it to rise. But it would be interesting to know, wouldn't it, what Jesus's bread tasted like. Bread, the so-called staff of life. From Jesus, the bread of life. Well, today, bread is on the gospel menu. We have been reading the Gospel of Mark ever since the second Sunday of Pentecost, and we will read it until right on up to the end of the church season and the beginning of Advent, except for the last Sunday. But now, right in the middle, we take a little break and we hop over to the Gospel of John, the sixth chapter. And we're going to spend 5 weeks on that. And in those verses, we hear Jesus talking a lot about bread. If you have a Bible at home, or you can find one, and you have a few extra minutes, you might read the sixth chapter of John. Just kind of interesting, all the bread references. And Jesus doesn't bake the bread, but he does take and break it and bless it and share it generously. He uses this image of bread, I think, to teach us about his relationship with us and with one another and with our sisters and brothers with whom we share this planet. John and Jesus have an important lesson for us, and apparently there is something about bread that helps us to get the point. There are a couple of details to note right away in today's gospel lesson. The first is pretty obvious. There are a lot of people, 5,000. And depending on which gospel you read, that might be 5,000 plus women and children. But John says 5,000 in all, so we'll take that. In any case, there were a lot of people. This was a big crowd. The second detail is, there was a lot of grass. There was a lot of grass. Jesus invited all of those people to sit down. You might say he offered them a broad green space where they will be fed. And I don't know about you, but that starts helping me form an image in my mind of Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Green fields for resting, food for sustenance, so much food that after the meal, the disciples gather enough to fill 12 baskets. There is plenty to go around, and then some. And our other readings today echo that same theme of abundance. We heard, as Rusty read to us, about the prophet Elijah, who feeds a crowd of 100, but a pretty good sized crowd, with some bread that seemed at the beginning to be far less than would be needed for that number of folks. And Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians, speaks of the abundance of God's generosity in less physical terms. He describes the riches of God's glory, strength from the power of the Spirit, the limitless breadth and length and height and depth of Christ's love, all these gifts that enable God to accomplish abundantly through us far more than all we can ask or imagine. Abundant gifts, abundant food for abundant life. The abundant life that God intends for each of us and for each of God's beloved children. Jesus and Elisha provide abundantly for the people. And food and bread specifically seem to be connected to Jesus' life and to our life in Jesus and with Jesus. Think, for example, of when he serves up a breakfast to his disciples on the shore of the Sea of Galilee after his resurrection. Being fed is literally a sign of the presence of God. There are a number of Episcopalians and other faithful volunteers from across our state who embody the presence of God every Saturday afternoon in downtown Providence, where they offer a worship service, a welcome, and a meal to whoever shows up there in Burnside Park. For more than 5 years now, these folks have gathered weekly as the Church Beyond the Walls. The congregation describes itself as a street church community whose mission is to build solidarity among people from all walks of life, housed and unhoused, poor and privileged, churched and unchurched. These present-day followers of Jesus are also a sign, like the sign John describes of Jesus' feeding 5,000 folks on the mountain there in Galilee. Excuse me. It's a sign of abundant life. There really is enough to go around. There is enough food. There is enough love. There is enough. If we are willing to share some of what we have, including our time, with people who may need a little help, if we are willing to embody the presence of God and to send the clear message that each life matters, each person, each brother and sister who comes to receive bread, to take and eat the Eucharistic meal and the sandwich afterward, is a beloved child of God who deserves the dignity of a place at the table. And we offer that same kind of welcome here at Grace Church to all who come through our doors, sharing what we have, joining in worship, sharing God's love, receiving the bread and the wine, meeting Jesus and each other at the table. The table of the Lord. I recently saw a video in which, you know who my favorite preacher is, right?
Curry.
Presiding Bishop Michael Curry. I recently saw a video in which Bishop Curry speaks about these passages from God, these bread of life passages. And he invites us to think, as we read the sixth chapter of John, to think about what God is up to here. Bishop Curry suggests that it isn't just physical food. Yes, it's true, God does want each person to have enough to nourish her or his body. But God wants more than that. God wants us to have life. He wants us to have love. How is it, he asks, how is it that God is trying to feed the world on food that gives life and gives life abundantly? And that, my friends, this is so lame, is food for thought. You could have filled in the blank. Something for us to ponder this week. How is God giving us life through the scriptures? How is God giving us life through the scriptures? How is Jesus leading us to green pastures? How is Jesus showing us the way to abundant life? Amen.